reaching across the country for the biggest sports news this weekend. From Atlanta to Seattle, from Boston to LA, this is Big Sports Radio.
Big Sports Radio, glad you're here with us. One last time on the show. We'll talk more about that here coming up in just a bit. Larry Smith, Mike Hengley, Brad Sturdy here with us. Lots to talk about. Big game in New York. It is Illinois. It's number three Duke. Talk about that in just a second here. Tom Izzo finally breaking through and taking over the legendary late Bob Knight atop the Big Ten. That conversation coming up. Also, we'll talk a little NCAA tournament. We got the first look at the seedings. The banner debacle in Champaign. Steve Weissman, who's a Duke beat writer from the Raleigh News Observer, joining us at the bottom of the hour to talk more about this Duke game. Dylan Sin here to talk Big Ten basketball. And the legend, Rod Woodson, is on the show later on. We'll see what he's up to right now. Living in Vegas, guys. Didn't realize that, but he's going to come along here as well. Let's talk basketball and the game that we had circled on our calendar. You know, the Big Ten teams normally don't go out of conference, right? Like once they get to, they turn, you know, in the new year, the calendar, you know, they've gotten this lately with the larger schedules. They play a couple games in early December. They'll go back out of conference. Once they go back in January, they don't go out again. So the fact that Illinois scheduled this game to play Duke at Madison Square Garden in late February is really out of character. At the time, it seemed like a genius move because Illinois, earlier this season, had a unit and they're playing as if they were a potential Final Four and national championship contender. Then came recent games and illness and injury and bizarre playing patterns. And all of a sudden, this potentially looks like on paper, it's just not very competitive.
Yeah, it's an Illinois team that's a shell of where they were 6 weeks ago against a Duke team that. Now, I will say one thing I'll say about Duke is they really haven't played it. The ACC schedule hasn't been, you know, the gauntlet that it used to be. And so I think they would have a different record maybe in the SEC where you go in every night and it's a tough game. And even the Big Ten, I think, you know, they would have a much different record. So, but Illinois is just not healthy. If Illinois is healthy, this is a different game. I feel like they could match up a little bit with Duke. But man, with the way they are right now and your star player, Jakachonis is coming off a 511 turnover game against Wisconsin. This is a really tough game for Illinois.
Yeah, I think this is one that Illinois fans have went from, we got an opportunity to beat Duke on the big stage to, hey, I wonder how good Cooper Flagg is. So I just think it's going to be an interesting time for Illinois fans who are really rationalizing lower expectations than what they anticipated.
So I got to tell you a funny story about that. Illinois fan posted that he sold his tickets to a Duke fan and he made about $1,000 on the exchange and he brought tickets to a Broadway show instead of going to the game. So, hey, man, do what you got to do.
Listen, it may be more entertaining than this game. This game may be over at halftime. And boy, just to rub a little salt in the wound for Illinois fans, how about the promo that Fox was running last week when Illinois was playing Michigan State, the night game? So in the promo, it's a 30-second promo, and it's all Cooper Flagg, the Duke side, right? Oh, it's Duke, it's Cooper Flagg, a National Player of the Year candidate, and he's dunking, and he's celebrating, he's flexing, versus Illinois trying to take him down. They showed three shots. One of Ty Rogers, who's redshirting this year, doesn't play. It was a highlight from last year. The other was number two was Dre Gibbs Lawhorn, who's only started two games all season. He only played three minutes that night. The third one is Kylan Boswell, who flexing, who's a role player, like not Kasperi Jakachonis, not Tomislav Ivicic. I mean, the two best players on the team you ignored. That's how bad it was. And then they must have realized their gaffe. I'm watching then, later on in the week, right? A couple of nights ago, I'm watching Fox and FS1. And then they came back and they clearly saw the error of their ways. And they replaced it with, it looks like a dunk by Gibbs Lawhorn. It also could have been like a really impressive rejection of a fast break dunk against Gibbs Lawhorn. So it's like of all the plays you could show, that's all you got. Still no shot of the guy Jakachonis, who potentially could be a lottery pick in almost every mock draft, or Will Riley, who is a potential first rounder. No shots of those, but that just shows you the level of respect that Fox has for Illinois in this game. Kind of hurts.
Not much. I think I'd rather have seen Brad Underwood like screaming at an official or something.
Sure.
You know, that would have been more exciting. But no, it is true. I mean, Duke's the name team here. Illinois has, you know, last year I think that Illinois team was kind of a media darling with all the Terrence Shannon issues. They were a story, you know, whether it's Marcus Dumas, Terrence Shannon, a lot of Coleman Hawkins, a lot of old guys. I don't think they know this. Maybe they just can't spell or pronounce Jacques Jonas, so they just use something different. Let's just go with, do they have a guy named Smith? Maybe we can go with that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it certainly shows you the power of recency bias, because Illinois was looking really good just 5.5 weeks ago, and the whole worm is turned once Jacques Jonas got the forearm injury. And then everything kind of changed for Illinois, because it's been in a death spiral of health issues, and Lord only knows what is next. So let's just hope for the safety of our players.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, for Illinois, you know, first Elite Eight run last year since 2005. And we've talked about how important it is for a marketing and PR and platform elite status that you got to get to that second weekend consistently. They've only done it once. So there are programs still that's on the come, and, you know, we'll see if they can get there. Maybe this year, whenever, but certainly they're in a much better place now than they were even just 4 or 5 years ago in Champaign. Speaking of all the injuries and illness and whatever, here's Brad Underwood talking after they got blown out at Wisconsin by 21 points about all of the just the illness and injuries that they've suffered through. He said he hadn't seen anything like it. Here's Coach Underwood.
You know, at the end of the day, guys, we don't have very many healthy bodies. Tommy didn't make the trip with us. He drove up, you know, before the game because he said he wanted to try to play. And Jake Davis got sick right after pregame and said he wanted to try to start, but he didn't even join us at halftime. He was in the restroom. That's why we didn't shake hands with them after the game. They don't need this. But 38 years, I've never seen anything like what's gone through our team with Trey, Will, now Tommy. Tommy's literally practiced maybe once in a month from mono, and then the ankle injury, and now this. So,
yeah, it's you know, you've got guys like Ivasic who had mono, then he comes back, sprains his ankle, and then he gets sick again. Doesn't even fly with the team, drives up to the game on the day of the game, misses the morning shoot around. Jake Davis goes there. He starts the game against Wisconsin and then has to go throw up at halftime and can't even come out for the second half. And it's amazing they didn't shake hands after the game. And it wasn't about any animosity. It was just like Brad Underwood tells Greg Gard, I just don't want to get your guys sick. You guys are playing well right now.
Well, and look, we all know the real reason. Of course, he wanted to see the scenic route on I-39 between Bloomington and Rockford, which has been written about in
God's
every
country
tourist manual that has ever. Yeah, right. Who knows? But if you have to drive that 2.5 hours, it's not a fun 2.5 hours. And especially if you're hooked up to an IV while somebody else is driving, probably wasn't a lot of fun for him either.
Yeah, and let's face it, Wisconsin, driving through Wisconsin, also not a party. So, I mean, yeah, it's hopefully he had a good book or got some sleep, because it is I-39, one of the newer interstate sections in the country. Doesn't mean it's pretty. No question. All right, so Illinois Duke. Tom Izzo, give him his props. He gets the win the other night against Illinois, one other game here this week. And so he finally surpasses Bob Knight, win number 354, the winningest all-time coach in Big Ten history.
Yeah. Give Izzo credit. I mean, this dude has been around forever, and he just consistently puts together a team that can compete in the Big Ten Conference. And he plays a difficult schedule in the non-conference, gets him ready for conference play. And then he's had multiple teams make great runs in March. He got the one national title, but I thought it was interesting when after the game, when he said, you know, he'd trade the record to get the three national titles that Bobby Knight has, you know. So, what he's done is really impressive there at Michigan State, because they aren't considered a blue blood historically, but he's made them, you know, they're part of the Champions Classic, all those things. He's made them a marquee name in college basketball.
Yeah, under his watch, they've pretty much passed up Michigan, the big brother in the state. And certainly he's done a fantastic job to get his name up there with names like Knight and Katy. And it's great for him. And, you know, the guy has built a program. He had a nice foundation, but really strengthened it and made it much stronger than it ever was before he got there.
Yeah, no question about that. Put this in perspective. His first Big Ten game was back in January 1996. The Spartans beat Indiana, and Bob Knight on that night. John Shire, the Duke head coach, was in grade school at the time. Bruce Pearl, who is the coach of number one Auburn, had just won his Division II national championship at Southern Indiana. He was trying to rebuild his name after the stuff he did at Iowa as an assistant coach. If you don't know, go look it up. We won't waste time on that here. A gallon of gas was $1.28 back in 1996. And the movies? Twister, Independence Day, and Show Me the Money, Jerry Maguire. That's what we're talking about. That's how.
And more importantly, Larry at that point only had 167 suits.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's really early in his career.
Here's how old I am. I was already at CNN. That's how long. Wow. That's how long that was. So.
He only had one tie closet.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. He didn't have the three tie closets that were around his through different parts of his house in case he needs to switch ties at home.
Yeah, and he has a kitchen tie, and he has the bathroom tie, and the bedroom tie.
It's like Mr. Rogers. He has little closets. He just goes into, comes out in a new outfit.
Exactly.
He changes outfits more times than Taylor Swift does.
He has phone booths around his house. He goes in, he comes out in his super Larry costume, you know, with the tie.
My wife today said, I don't know if I've seen that tie before. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. It's like a woman in purses. You know, it's like me and my ties. I just go sneak them. And go, no, this is an old one. No, this is not a new tie.
So. She's just, and you know what? She doesn't remember them, but she humors you. Oh,
exactly.
That one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember that tie.
Yeah.
That was the one you got in 1987.
Here's the scary thing, guys. WNBA season's coming up, and I always vow to wear a different tie each week. So we're about to add to that tie collection here in a couple of months. It's going to be even worse.
Now, do you realize that there is one athlete who made sure to wear a different suit, a different outfit every time he was on the air? That was Ric Flair. Ric Flair of broadcasting.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
This has gone off the rails quickly. Hey, listen, really quick, I want to get this in.
Larry Flair.
I thought I'd ever be compared to Ric Flair. Oh my goodness. What a show to on this very, very memorable weekend for Big Sports Radio. The first look at the NCAA seedings comes out. I love that they do this because I said, hey, as of right now, the committee says these are the top 16 teams. I didn't see a lot of surprises there. Very SEC heavy at the top two lines, as they should be. I thought all the teams that Auburn being at the top, Duke right there, they all were very deserving of the seedings that they got.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, though. If you were seeded highly, you probably lost. Right. I think Alabama's lost twice since then. Texas A&M lost. Purdue's lost twice since then. Kentucky lost. You go down the list. I mean, Kansas got beat twice and destroyed. Oh, they were on the list. I mean, Texas Tech got ranked in the top 10. They lost. So I think the moral of the story is you didn't want to be on that list today, but you want to be on that list at the end of the year.
Yeah, and it's so different than football where they kept putting out a list and then that list handcuffed them for what they could do at the end of the season. At least they haven't made that mistake on the basketball side.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we've got much more to come. NBA All-Star Game. Yeah, we got to talk about it, unfortunately. Also, the banner fiasco to top all banner fiascos. It just was so embarrassing. Saturday night at Illinois. We'll talk about it. Coming up, this is Big Sports Radio.
Are you tired of your website making your business look bad? Is your current web developer dropping the ball? Let's face it, if your website isn't making you money, it's broken. Let Neon Rain create a website that turns your visitors into customers. Neon Rain has worked with hundreds of businesses across North America, building custom websites and applications with modern designs that are easy to update and work well on mobile devices. They can do it for you too. What sets Neon Rain apart? They actually deliver on their promises. Call today for a free consultation, 303-957-3092. That's Neon Rain at 303-957-3092. Or visit them at neonrain.com.
Welcome back here to Big Sports Radio. Glad you're still with us, Larry, Mike, and Brad. We were talking college basketball a minute ago, and the banner situation. Look, when a player gets in the Ring of Honor, right, in football, or they get their banner raised to the rafters, their jersey is retired. It is one of the most ultimate, amazing things. Illinois had two of them last week, and one of the criteria for them is you got to be an All-American. Well, Kofi Coburn, as big as he is, people forget how good he was. I don't know how that happened. 7'1", 300 pounds, two-time All-American. He had his banner raised a Tuesday night when Illinois beat UCLA. Now, that banner, they'd already raised it to the rafters. They just had the official ceremony, so they kind of brought it back down, put it back up again, whatever. Well, then Saturday night, because it's NBA All-Star Game weekend and Terrence Shannon is a rookie in the NBA, he had his jersey had not been up in the rafters, and it showed because when they unveiled it, fellas, it was upside down. Insert rim shot right here. Thank you. Really? Talk about yourselves. I'm verklempt.
It was interesting. I was about 15 feet away, and Terrence Shannon looks at that jersey. He's like, does it switch when it goes up there? I mean, you could just see him like going through his head, like, I don't think that's the way it's supposed to look. But it was, it's a stunning thing for that to happen with all the protocols, you know, all the things they did to make that a special night for him. And then the protocols in place, one of them didn't include hanging the banner correctly. And it's just stunning to me that can be the thing that we mess up, that you can mess up, you know, in front of millions of people because it was national television and it became the story for a few days.
Yeah, I think the lesson learned there is if you ruin the reveal of what the jersey looks like to ensure that it's not upside down, that's okay.
Yeah.
And I think that somebody should have done that check the last time. And I hope nobody got fired over that, but it had to be terribly challenging for both Terrence Shannon Jr. and Josh Whitman, who were there watching it.
Do you remember that commercial when the guy, you know, maybe the guy just needed a Snickers.
Exactly. Maybe
The guy, hey, the great job painting, but who are the chefs?
Right.
You know, it was one of those moments.
It really was. And it's sad that that's art, right? Like that's an ad campaign. And yet this was real life. Like it really happened. You know,
well, how do you? And maybe instead of the State Farm Center, it should be called the Allstate Center and it'll protect Illinois from mayhem. Like that.
There you go.
There you go. That's exactly right. You know, and here's the thing about that is that with Terrence Shannon, it's upside down. The bad thing is it was done during halftime, Brad, as you know. So there was no time to fix it. So they had to raise it and let it hang there during the second half upside down, which,
in
by
case
the way,
you missed it.
Yeah, by the way, yeah. Illinois basketball went upside down as well. They missed their final 19 shots in the game and saw a 15-point lead go down to a 12-point loss.
They couldn't handle the banner. It was too much for the players, the emotional problems from having the banner.
It was like the worst omen of all time because online you had Illinois fans going, the second half is already cursed. Terrence Shannon's banner was upside down. And they were right.
Yeah. Here's the cool thing about it, though. He comes out a couple days later, and in one of the classiest acts ever by an athlete that was ever dissed, and there are a few athletes that have been dissed worse than what Terrence Shannon has been dissed by Illinois. Let's just call it that. And again, if you don't know, look up the whole story last year. It was crazy. He comes out with a special T-shirt with his banner, a picture of his banner upside down, right, his jersey on the shirt. And he's selling them online, gamedayspirit.com, and all proceeds go to the local Boys and Girls Club. That's what you call class.
Yeah, that's taking a negative, turn it into a positive. Just really impressive from Terrence Shannon. But we've always known that kid. He's a persevere guy. He perseveres through difficult situations and plays through pressure. And he's just a class act. You know, he and his mom just made the best of a situation that could have been really, you know, a negative, but they turned it into a positive, and that's what you do. Turn that frown upside down.
Yeah, and I told her, you've done an incredible job raising a great young man, because you see the behaviors that he has done in the worst of situations, and most of us wouldn't handle things as well as he's done, and he's still so young.
Yeah, he came back last year after the six games that he sat out due to the school suspension, had to sue his own school to begin playing again, came back, sets the all-time single-season scoring record, most outstanding player in the Big Ten tournament, just had an outstanding finish to his career, and then now a top first-round pick, the Minnesota Timberwolves, had a nice couple of games last week. Maybe they'll kind of figure things out here for them as well. Speaking of NBA All-Star Weekend, the All-Star Game, fellas, I'll just be honest with you, I couldn't watch. I began watching and I turned off. Once Kevin Hart started, I had to do something else. Sorry, I couldn't do it.
I don't know. They need to do something that makes it a little more exciting. Make him play underwater. Make him play, I don't know. Wear a suit and tie.
There
maybe
you go.
Larry Larry Smith All-Star Game.
Yeah, and dress shoes.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's just not exciting. I mean, I thought the dunk contest was cool. Mac McClung is pretty impressive. I still like the 3-point shootout, the skills competition. Those kind of things are fun. But the game is just, it's a joke because nobody wants to get hurt.
Yeah.
That's not why they're playing. And they don't give effort. Nobody tries to play any defense. People shoot half court shots. It's a glorified exhibition. There's no competition. It's just not an exciting thing. And it was never a knockdown drag out thing. You know, Major League Baseball used to have the All-Star game, but like Pete Rose would kill a guy to score a run.
Right. Right.
It's never been like that, but it was much more competitive back in the day than it is now. It's become something different.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I stopped enjoying All-Star games when I was a kid. I wonder if those are just something that you get past a certain age and you're like, yeah, I don't think I would risk life or limb or anything for an exhibition in the middle of the season. To me, maybe you could figure out some new way to do some sort of fan weekend or some sort of interactions, but the All-Star game is kind of worthless. But what if you had guys who were All-Stars in their local towns? Maybe you do some sort of charity drive or some sort of, service drive wherever, you know, they get people to go down to homeless shelters and feed them or, you know, something that is different. I know it wouldn't be a huge TV watching thing, but at this point, I think the All-Star concept has run its course, and that's just me. But I'm not really interested in it anymore.
Yeah, I think it's hard. And the one suggestion that I would make is maybe try the Major League Baseball model, where go back to East West, stop with the team Shaq, team Candace, team LeBron, team Steph, whatever, you know, and go back to East West, and whoever wins gets home court edge in the finals, NBA finals. I think for baseball, that made it interesting. I know I paid attention more. I was curious into how it came out. It put strategy back in the game. Maybe you do that. I don't know what else works, because it's just a lot of, like you said, it's a lot of look who's in the stands and what they're wearing. And, you know, they stopped the game to talk about the inside, the NBA guys. And
yeah,
it just was a lot of stuff.
Give the winning team $1 million each.
Yeah.
To make it worth their while.
Yeah, because 10,000 ain't getting it. That's
no. Give them $1 million each. I mean, that's what, $15 million.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh well.
You got it. Yeah. Make it to where it's something big, you know. But yeah.
You get zero. Or make them. Hey, I got an idea. Make it a wager. If you're on the West, you have everybody puts $1 million in, and then the winning team gets to keep the $1 million.
Ooh.
There you go. Make it. I bet they play a little harder.
You bet they, yeah, yeah. I see what you did there. All right.
I think you can do a lot of different gimmicks, but I'm not certain if, as Fonzie jumped the shark, I'm not certain that the All-Star concept hasn't jumped the shark.
Yeah. Great reference. I love that.
Very good. Love that. Man. Yeah. I tell you what, I clicked over to the SNL special and was thoroughly entertained for 3 hours. So, yeah, there you go. If you haven't seen it, by the way, Black Jeopardy was outstanding. Okay, yeah. up next, Duke beat writer Steve Wiseman joins us right here, Big Sports Radio.
Greece is cheap,
but the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-456-5371. 800-456-5371. 800-456-5371. That's 800-456-5371.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back, but you're gonna love it, and you're gonna love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now.
800-215-0341. 800-215-0341. 800-215-0341. That's 800-215-0341.
You're listening to the Big Sports Radio Network with Larry Smith, Mike Kegley, and Brad Sturdy.
One of the big games this weekend we're looking forward to is number 3 Duke taking on Illinois. Glad to have with us here on the show Steve Wiseman. He's a Duke beat writer for the Raleigh News and Observer. Steve, welcome to the show. And boy, congrats on Duke once again. We were talking here in the break, you know, Mike Krzyzewski is now retired. There are the critics that John Shire, oh, he's his handpicked. John's done a great job with this team. And once again, they just have not missed a beat. They're headed to a number one seed, and they're one of the candidates to win the national title.
Yeah, it's really worked out the way they wanted it to when they set the succession plan up and everything, that John would work under him for a year knowing he was going to take over the program. They haven't made a Final Four yet, so that's the one hurdle they need to clear. They almost made it last year, of course, lost the Elite Eight. But you look at his record, they won an ACC championship the first year, Elite Eight last year, looking like a number one seed, like you said, this year, with a chance to win it all. So that's what they set it up to be, and it's hard to argue that it has not been successful. I think that it's clearly worked the way they wanted it to.
Yeah, John, from the Chicago suburbs, knows the Illinois program well. Obviously, I think coming out of high school, came down to Duke or Illinois, and he chose the Blue Devils. Mm-hmm. And Blue Devil for life. What kind of pressure has this been on him? It feels like on the outside he's been embraced. You mentioned no Final Fours. That the love will change. That doesn't happen here in a couple of years. But it feels like it's, like you said, even the fans have embraced him, and it's been a good transition.
They have mostly, obviously, there's no 100% approval ratings, right, for anybody in this world. So there are some who noted that, last year they lost to Carolina twice. That's the rival. And then they lost to NC State in the ACC tournament and in the Elite Eight. So that didn't sit well in the offseason. So in this little neighborhood with our three schools here in the Triangle, that gets brought up quite a bit. So, but yes, the overall big picture, he's handled the pressure pretty well. And I've seen him over the last, this is third year, grow into the position and be more comfortable to make bold moves. And like last off season, when they had to tell some people, there's not going to be a place for you on next year's team, and they brought in three transfers from outside the program: Malik Brown, Mason Gillis from Purdue, and Sion James from Tulane, who have all been big parts of what they're doing. He had to change kind of the culture of the locker room to build it around Cooper Flagg, and he felt emboldened and able to do that. I don't think coming into his first year, he would have maybe done that. He was kind of still feeling his way, but yeah. So he's grown into it and is doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. Talk about Cooper Flagg. He's an outstanding player. ESPN announcers give him kind of, you know, superhuman adjectives sometimes, but that's not to take away that I think he's a really fun player and someone I'm looking forward to seeing up first, you know, up close and personal on Saturday. Tell us about what, from your seat, how good this young man is.
So the biggest thing is he impacts the game everywhere on the court. He's leading them in every stat category, right? Assists, steals, rebounds, you know, points, obviously, block shots. You don't see that very often, especially in a team that's ranked number three in the country and going to be number one seed in the NCAA tournament. Like, there's a guy at UAB doing it, but that's, you know, a little lower level basketball, and they're like a 500 team. So that's the one thing that jumps out. And people ask me a lot, how does he compare to the past great Duke freshmen, Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett, Jason Tatum, on down the line? It's the way he impacts everywhere. I mean, Zion was the human highlight reel, and every night he did dunks that were unbelievable. Cooper had a couple of those in that Pitt game last month, and that was the biggest thing. But Zion did those every night. But what Cooper does is, you know, their offense runs through him. He can decide, I don't need to score tonight for us to win. I need to pass and rebound. And he'll have 11 points and 14, 15 rebounds and 7 assists. Whatever they need defensively, he can do it. And at such a young age, to be able to be comfortable to see how the game's going and make those decisions on the fly is pretty impressive.
Yeah. What's it been like to watch this ACC? You've been around the ACC for a long time, around this game for a long time. Look, you can't lose 6, soon to be 7 coaches in a span of 3 years and all the NCAA championships, all the Final Fours, and not have some kind of letdown. That's taking nothing away from the coaches there now. But you know, Krzyzewski, Boeheim, Williams, Josh Pastner is not one of those elite, but still he's a guy who's a veteran of the game. The list goes on and on. What's it been like from your end to watch, you know, night in, night out and say, gee, a conference usually could be 8-9 bids, maybe lucky to get 5 this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think no more than 4, maybe 3.
Yeah.
It's really, we refer to it as the brain drain. It's just, you know, and again, it's the experience. I mean, just not that long ago, there were 4 active Hall of Fame coaches in this league when Patino was at Louisville and Kay and Roy and Boeheim. And then since then, Tony Bennett won a national championship at Virginia. In 2019, Duke had the ACC had 3 number one seeds in the NCAA tournament, Duke, Virginia, and North Carolina. That's only 5-6 years ago. That's not ancient history.
Right.
And now we're talking about maybe getting 3 teams in the tournament because all those guys are gone. Like, and so the next generation has yet to establish itself at that level. And again, John Shire looks like he might be ready to be that, but he's got to get to a Final Four and win a national championship to really stamp that down. And so, yes, the replacement guys that have come in, Brett Autry at Syracuse is not nearly what they used to be, right? Pitt used to be a team when they were in the Big East that was routinely a number one and number two seed in the NCAA tournament. And Jeff Capel's done a better job building them back up, but they're still not, not going to make the tournament this year. That'll be 2 years in a row. So
right. That
next generation really hasn't established itself yet. And so we've seen the slippage in the level of play in the conference. And it's sad for me as somebody who's covered this league for 15 years in a row to see that happen, but it didn't happen overnight. It was a little bit here, a little bit there. And now we're in this situation. So they've got there's some programs that need to invest NIL. Pat Kelsey at Louisville is doing a really good job. Maybe he's going to get that program back up to where it needs to be to make this conference good. So he's a win in that category, but there's a lot of guys that aren't doing the job.
Yeah, Kelsey, a fantastic job. The year to year from last year with Kenny Payne has been outstanding. Where the Cardinals, one of those teams that will be one of those 3 bids. Looks like it's pretty much guaranteed. Talking to Steve Weissman, again, Duke beat writer with the Raleigh News and Observer. Duke, Illinois. It's on Fox, 8 p.m. Eastern tip from Madison Square Garden. Can't wait. Excited. Great atmosphere. This is an Illinois team that has had some big wins this season. They knocked off a ranked Arkansas team on a neutral court. Were competitive with an Alabama team on a neutral court. Beat Missouri. Took then number one Tennessee down to the wire. But they really struggled of late with just a ton of injuries, illnesses. They had a you know, as you know, the other night against Wisconsin, at Wisconsin, the starting center was late to the game because of the flu, up all night the night before. The kid who replaced him played 8 minutes and then went to the locker room, and he spent the rest of the night in the bathroom with the flu. I mean, it is, first off, any concerns about you guys having extra hand sanitizer on the bench? Have you heard about that? And talk about, in terms of this Illinois team, what do you know about them and what have you seen from them on the outside?
Well, yeah. By the way, illnesses, you know, Mason Gillis missed a couple of games for Duke last week with he was out with the illness too, kind of same situation. So he's back. But anyway, so, you know, stuff's going around, right? That's kind of the way it is this time of year. But yeah. Yes, I look forward to this game when they scheduled it. I thought this is a great late season little boost for both of them to step out of conference and kind of get an early peek at what the tournament's going to be like in March. So I think it's cool. Illinois, again, I thought this would be a battle of ranked teams, and it's not, because Illinois has really struggled the last few games. And I did watch some of the game with Wisconsin and saw them, you know, end up losing by, 21 points. So they're not rebounding as well. One thing I know, Illinois is really struggling on the inside, and Duke lost the rebounding battle to Clemson when they lost that game a couple of weeks ago. And that was a rare thing for them. And they've really emphasized that. And then against Virginia on Monday night, they won the rebounding battle 41-21. It was like 15-3 at one point. I mean, they just dominated that area. So from an Illinois perspective, that's an area of concern, that Duke is back strong there and Illinois is weak. And Duke's defense has been really good. And last night, or when I watched the Wisconsin game, Illinois turned the ball over a lot in the first half. They had trouble getting into their offense, it looked like. They were struggling with that. And Duke's been very good at half-court defense, at forcing teams into bad shots, creating turnovers. Those are areas of concern for Illinois going into this game that I hoped, when this game was set up months ago, wouldn't be the case. It'd be a little more competitive. But there's some serious edges for Duke in those things.
Yeah, and the rebounding, you're exactly right. I believe it's been five straight games they failed to get to 40 rebounds. They're 2-3 in those games. And this is a team that's number two right now. They're neck and neck with, I think it's Alabama, in rebounding, 44.3 rebounds a game, something like that. Obviously, again, Tomislav Ivicic being down, he had mono, then he had a badly sprained ankle, now the flu thing. Marez Johnson Jr. fractures his wrist on a tremendous block shot in the Michigan State game Saturday night. I mean, it is just one that, I don't know if you're familiar, but the guard Kylan Boswell, for reasons that we don't know, I don't know, that it's almost like a, you know, Jobu moment of major league, but he was burning sage pregame around the courts before they played USC. It was a Saturday morning, 11 a.m. local tip-off. They were supposed to win easily, 10-12 point favorites, and they lost, and that began the tailspin. So the joke in Champagne is, find Jobu's rum. Like, you got to do something, because since then, Yakachonis was out with a forearm injury, and then, four or five guys had, the flu, and then Ivicic mono, and then, it's Perez. It's like, really? Stop this. Stop the bleeding.
The reverse effect. It went the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And maybe he read the directions backwards. I don't know what happened, but yeah, that's not good. You need an intervention here. We got to straighten this out, because that's bad luck.
They have been cursed since then. They were 12-2. And again, I think lost like 5-7 since then, something like that. Tell me what concerns you about Duke heading into, March right now. Obviously, boy, they're blowing teams away every single night. I would think that Duke Nation is looking forward to Illinois bringing their best for a competitive March-like game, even though they got guys out, maybe they can get healthy here next couple of days. What's your concern about this Duke team as they hit the tournament?
Well, number one is they had an injury come up the other night at Virginia. They lost Malik Brown, who was their sixth man and a really big key to their defense. He can guard 1 through 5, they switch all the time in the half court sets, which makes it tough to run an offense against it. He does things that Kamon Maluwach, the 7'2" freshman from Africa, can't do. And with him out, Malik's dislocated his shoulder, and he's going to be out for a few weeks here. They think, hopefully they'll get him back for the NCAA tournament. That's the kind of the hope. But they played without him in January, and they kept winning, but you can see the defense not quite as sharp. And so that's a big concern now, is that going to happen? And they'll be able to get through the ACC schedule, because they're not going to play anybody that's going to the tournament here down the stretch. Illinois is the one that they're going to play, and then ACC tournament. So that's a concern for me, is how is his health going to be? when he comes back, can they put him right back in, or is he going to be done for the year? I mean, they're still assessing. You know, a dislocated shoulder can be a long recovery if it's not handled correctly. So that's a concern. They're playing much better offensively right now, and I think that's a good thing. They had a little stretch there where when they played Clemson, they had a close game with Wake Forest where they were turning the ball over a little bit more. They're normally a team that is a lot more assists than turnovers. They kind of got away from that a little bit. Now they've kind of found their groove again. So they have to keep that up. I mean, obviously, any night you can have a night where you shoot 4 out of 20 from three, and that puts you in danger of losing. But they're better.
A lot of those nights, by the way.
Exactly. It happens. But so you've got to find other sources of consistent offense. And so that's what they're doing right now. They seem to be doing that. So they have to continue to get that. But the defense has always been there, and that's what they have to have.
Yeah. And I think that's the staple. And that's why, you know, if we talk about consistency and the changeover from Krzyzewski to Shire, that's philosophy has always been there. I think, like you said, it's why they're still one of the elite teams. Yeah. Illinois, we joke, they shoot threes as if it's oxygen. I mean, it is just, you know, that they missed 12 straight to the end of the game, three pointers against Michigan State. Well, they're in the bonus. That's another conversation. Head to New York. It's Duke, Illinois. I know Duke gets the MSG, you know, it feels like almost every year for one reason or another. Favorite Times Square place to grab a bite to eat? What's your favorite place?
Oh, man. Now, see, I don't go to Times Square. I go to Little Italy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, like there's a place called Benito's, too. That's okay. My place in Little Italy. I like to go there. There's another place that's closed. So many Italian restaurants in New York City, but
okay.
You got to go to Junior's, get a Junior's cheesecake. Like you got to, that's Times Square. That is Times Square.
Junior's cheesecake. Okay. And Little Italy is a short Uber ride, short cab ride.
Yes. Not far away.
Yeah. Okay.
Not far away. Right.
We have a lot of Illini fans who listen to this. And so they're going to be looking for a place, and there we go. We're going to say Steve told you to get there. So, all right, Steve, listen, great to spend some time with you. Safe travels and good luck the rest of the way here. Hopefully we'll talk with you again soon.
Very good. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thank you, sir. Steve Wiseman, once again, he's a Duke beat writer, Raleigh News and Observer. Be sure to give him a follow on social media. It is No. 3 Duke against Illinois, 8 p.m. Eastern tip on Fox from the great Madison Square Garden. We've got more to come. Stay with us right here.
How would you like to get a free $100 prepaid MasterCard and save money on your television bill? Then call right now. Make the switch to Dish TV. For a limited time, we're offering a 2-year price guarantee. That's important for those of you on a fixed budget to know your prices won't go up for 2 years. Plus, you have hundreds of channels, lots of live news and sports, movies, and more. And when you call right now, you can also ask about our discounts for seniors and those of you in the military. So, make the switch to Dish right now. Pick up the phone and call. Enjoy your television like you are meant to. And when you sign up today, we'll also give you a $100 free prepaid MasterCard. Call right now, ask about our senior discount, our military discount, and your free $100 prepaid MasterCard.
800-706-7063. 800-706-7063. 800-706-7063. That's 800-706-7063. Paid for by NPS. Switch to Dish TV today for your free prepaid MasterCard.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. That's 800-425-1161.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
We're back here, and I just got to say, Mike, women's college basketball has become, like, cool. Caitlin Clark made it exciting, and You know, it was like UConn, Tennessee for a long time, and now Caitlin Clark came and made it exciting, but now she's gone. But this game is still awesome. There are so many girls playing now that are like at a high level. It's really fun to watch this game, the way it's evolved.
Do you think it's from the fact that over the years, you know, they have encouraged with the increase in scholarships, et cetera, we're starting to see the payoff of 10 to 20 years of letting the sport percolate? Because like you said, in the old days, there was like 2-3 contenders every year. And now it's like you could pull 15 teams, and if they got hot, they might win.
Yeah, I'm not sure it quite extends that far, but I think it's growing. I think it eventually will extend to 15 to 20 teams. I think right now you're probably in that, you know, 8 to 10 teams as opposed to 2 to 3 teams. But I think we're making that progress. There's just more players. So, you know, there's some great players in college basketball right now. And we talked a ton about before. You know, we used to talk about Clark, but now it's you got some different ones. You got Paige Beckers, who's kind of become, you know, at UConn, Juju Watkins at USC, Hannah Hidalgo at Notre Dame, and the Betts girl at UCLA. I mean, just fantastic players. I mean, so who's your player of the year? I don't know how closely you followed it, but who do you think's your player of the year?
Preseason, I would have said Juju Watkins, and she's had a, you know, great year. I wonder, though, across town with Lauren Betts and the way UCLA is playing, if that might be the MVP this year. You know, I mean, there's so many to choose from, but I'd have to give Betts the early one. But you've still got that award's given, I think, on April 2nd. So you've still got the Big Ten tournament. You've still got the NCAA tournament. So I think if somebody wants to control the script, they can write a really neat ending for their season.
Yeah, for me, I think it's Hannah Hidalgo. I think she's the one at Notre Dame. They're ranked number one now, and I feel like she's the straw that serves that drink there for them. Looking at number one seeds, you know, it seemed like South Carolina was a lock, you know, and everything, and they had a 71 game home winning streak, and then, you know, UConn goes in and they didn't just beat them, they just destroyed them. I mean, it was insane the way they dominated. AC Fudd, who has not played for, seems like she's always hurt. You know, Sarah Strong, Paige Becker is just a really good UConn squad now, starting to click, and getting that win at South Carolina was huge. So number one seeds, I mean, USC, UCLA, Notre Dame seem to be pretty much kind of locked in there. And then we'll see who comes out of maybe the SEC, whether it's, you know, or UConn or whoever it is that's able to get over that hump.
Yeah, there's quite a few. I think you got to give Notre Dame the edge, but to see South Carolina beat at home is a big deal.
Yeah.
If it's a 1-point loss, it's a big deal. They get beat handily. I mean, I wonder if you go back in the record books, like when was the last time they lost by a sizable amount, you know, anywhere? That's just a pretty impressive thing to do. Now, can you duplicate it? The other thing is Ohio State was galvanized by being beat by Michigan in football. Could this be the wake-up call that makes South Carolina turn into the big, tough bully on the you know, that everybody thought they might be this year?
I don't know. It's an interesting question. You know, I left out Texas. I apologize. Texas would also be in the mix for that number one seed. But, I think it's but I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I look at this list, and when you see a team, when the number five team can beat the number, you know, whatever, now there's number 16 by 30 at their place, and you've got LSU, obviously Ohio State, you go down the list, there's a lot of really good basketball teams. I mean, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of teams that have a chance to make a deep run, you know, in the NCAA tournament. And so this is going to be fun. This is a lot of fun. I always think that, you know, Caitlin Clark's highest scoring game, Mike, in her career, this is switching gears here a little bit, was 49 points, right?
Yep.
We just had a Vanderbilt freshman who scored 50 points again, Michaela Blake, right? And she has now scored 50 points twice this year. I mean, that doesn't have 55 against the other day.
Against Alabama's football defense?
Maybe. I don't know, but it's 55. She had originally had 53 over Florida, and then she got 55 against Auburn. So, my goodness, this is pretty it's high scoring by a freshman in ever. Elena Deladone scored 54 for at Delaware when back in 2010. But you know, it's pretty. I don't know.
Back to back against other SEC teams is pretty darn impressive.
No,
I don't care what anybody says. You're playing a power team there.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, 50 points is a lot.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's a lot of points.
How many times did you score 50 in a game, Brad?
I never scored. 45 was the most points I ever scored in a single basketball game. So, you know, that was it for me. I'm not worthy. So it's okay. But, you know, I maybe I should have shot more.
Yeah, exactly.
My teammates would not agree with that, but you know,
that's what everybody says when they graduate from high school. You know, if I'd have shot more, I might have played college ball. No, you wouldn't have.
it's funny. No, but I really will say this. How do people, why is there so many more girls now that we see just coming up? And do you feel like I think you can win with young girls, young players in the girls' side more than the boys' side? Why is that?
Because women mature quicker, maybe from an emotional standpoint compared to men. Who knows?
Well, definitely for emotional. You don't see them like, you know, usually punching lockers and breaking hands and things like that. So it's pretty interesting, you know, when you think about it, though. But you bring these freshmen and they're ready to play more. You know, Juju Watkins last year, Hannah Hidalgo last year, they were fantastic as freshmen. And you don't usually see people who are able as freshmen to lead teams to Final Fours and titles on the
outside of Carmelo. It's never happened, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could say Anthony Davis, kind of. You could say, you know, Okafor and Jones. But I mean, really, it's, you know, those guys were, they had older guys that really were huge there. They weren't just the guy, you know. So, but yeah, I would say maybe it's Cooper Flagg this year, but it's almost has to be a generational person to do it on the men's side.
Yeah, totally agree with you.
All right. We'll be back right after this. We'll talk some more sports. Skipping around, but what do we have next? Let's talk about some, I don't know, maybe some Big Ten basketball on the other side.